Testimony Treasures, Volume 3, Chapter 24, Our Denominational Literature. The power and efficiency of our work depend largely on the character of the literature that comes from our presses. Therefore, great care should be exercised in the choice and preparation of the matter that is to go to the world. The greatest caution and discrimination are needed. Our energies should be devoted to the publication of literature of the purest quality and the most elevating character. Our periodicals must go forth laden with truth that has a vital spiritual interest for the people. God has placed in our hands a banner upon which is inscribed, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." This is a distinct separating message, a message that is to give no uncertain sound. It is to lead the people away from the broken cisterns that contain no water to the unfailing fountain of the water of life. The object of our publications. Our publications have a most sacred work to do in making clear, simple, and plain the spiritual basis of our faith. Everywhere the people are taking sides. All are ranging themselves either under the banner of truth and righteousness or under the banner of the apostate powers that are contending for the supremacy. At this time, God's message to the world is to be given with such prominence and power that the people will be brought face to face, mind to mind, heart to heart, with truth. They must be brought to see its superiority over the multitudinous errors that are pushing their way into notice, to supplant, if possible, the Word of God for this solemn time. The great object of our publications is to exalt God, to call men's attention to the living truths of His Word. God calls upon us to lift up not our own standard, not the standard of this world, but His standard of truth. It is only as we do this that His prospering hand can be with us. Consider God's dealings with His people in the past. Notice how, while they carried His banner, He exalted them before their enemies. But when in self-exaltation they departed from their allegiance, when they exalted a power and a principle that were opposed to Him, they were left to bring upon themselves disaster and defeat. Consider the experience of Daniel. When called to stand before King Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel did not hesitate to acknowledge the source of his wisdom. Did that faithful recognition of God detract from Daniel's influence in the king's court? By no means. It was the secret of his power. It secured for him favor in the eyes of the ruler of Babylon. In God's name, Daniel made known to the king the heaven-sent messages of instruction, warning, and rebuke, and he was not repulsed. Let God's workers of today read the firm, bold testimony of Daniel and follow his example. Never does man show greater folly than when he seeks to secure acceptance and recognition in the world by sacrificing in any degree the allegiance and honor due to God. When we place ourselves where God cannot cooperate with us, our strength will be found weakness. All that is ever done toward restoring the image of God in man is done because God is the efficiency of the worker. It is His power alone that can restore the body, energize the mind, or renew the soul. In our publishing work, as in every other line of effort or Christian living, will be demonstrated the truth of Christ's words, "Without me, ye can do nothing." God has given to men immortal principles to which every human power will one day bow. He calls upon us to give to the world, by precept and by example, a demonstration of these principles. To those who honor Him by a faithful adherence to His word, the result will be glorious. It means much to stand by principles that will live through the eternal ages. personal experience needed by workers. The editors of our periodicals, the teachers in our schools, the presidents of our conferences, all need to drink of the pure streams of the river of the water of life. All need to understand more fully the words spoken by our Lord to the Samaritan woman. If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The Lord's work needs to be distinguished from the common affairs of life. He says, I will turn my hand upon thee, and purely purge away thy dross, and take away all thy tin, and I will restore thy judges as at the first, and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterward thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Zion shall be redeemed with judgment, and her converts with righteousness. These words are full of importance. They have a lesson for all who occupy the editorial chair. The words of Moses possess deep meaning. Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord, and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, This is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. This has a lesson for all who are handling the matter that goes forth from our publishing institutions. Sacred things are not to be mingled with the common. The papers that have so wide a circulation should contain more precious instruction than appears in the ordinary publications of the day. What is the chaff to the wheat? We want pure wheat, thoroughly winnowed. The Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand, and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, Say ye not, a confederacy, to all them to whom this people shall say, A confederacy, neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. I call the attention of all our workers to the 6th chapter of Isaiah. Read the experience of God's prophet when he saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord, saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. This is the experience needed by those who labor in all our institutions. There is danger that they will fail of maintaining a vital connection with God, of being sanctified through the truth. It is thus that they lose a sense of the power of the truth, lose the ability to discriminate between the sacred and the common. My brethren in responsible positions, may the Lord not only anoint your eyes that they may see, but pour into your hearts the holy oil that, from the two olive branches, flows through the golden pipes into the golden bowl which feeds the lamps of the sanctuary. May he give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. As faithful householders, give meat in due season to the household of God. Present truth to the people. Work as if in full view of the whole universe of heaven. We have no time to lose, not a moment. Important issues must soon be met, and we need to be hidden in the cleft of the rock that we may see Jesus and be quickened by his Holy Spirit. Matter for publication. Let our periodicals be devoted to the publication of living, earnest matter. Let every article be full of practical, elevating, ennobling thoughts, thoughts that will give to the reader help and light and strength. Family religion, family holiness, is now to be honored as never before. If ever a people needed to walk before God as did Enoch, Seventh-day Adventists need to do so now, showing their sincerity by pure words, clean words, words full of sympathy, tenderness, and love. There are times when words of reproof and rebuke are called for. Those who are out of the right way must be aroused to see their peril. A message must be given that shall startle them from the lethargy which enchains their senses. Moral renovation must take place, else souls will perish in their sins. Let the message of truth, like a sharp, two-edged sword, cut its way to the heart. Make appeals that will arouse the careless and bring foolish, wandering minds back to God. The attention of the people must be arrested. Our message is a savor of life unto life, or of death unto death. The destinies of souls are balancing. Multitudes are in the valley of decision. A voice should be heard, crying, "If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." At the same time, nothing savoring of a harsh, denunciatory spirit is, under any circumstances, to be indulged. Let our periodicals contain no sharp thrusts, no bitter criticisms or cutting sarcasm. Satan has almost succeeded in expelling from the world the truth of God, and he is delighted when its professed advocates show that they are not under the influence of truth which subdues and sanctifies the soul. Let the writers of our periodicals dwell as little as possible upon the objections or arguments of opponents. In all our work, we are to meet falsehood with truth. Put truth against all personal hints, references, or insults. Deal only in the currency of heaven. Make use only of that which bears God's image and superscription. Press in truth, new and convincing, to undermine and cut away error. God wants us to be always calm and forbearing. Whatever course others may pursue, we are to represent Christ, doing as he would do under similar circumstances. Our Savior's power lay not in a strong array of sharp words. It was his gentleness, his unselfish, unassuming spirit, that made him a conqueror of hearts. The secret of our success lies in revealing the same spirit. Unity. Those who speak to the people through our periodicals should preserve unity among themselves. Nothing that savors of dissension should be found in our publications. Satan is always seeking to cause dissension, for well he knows that by this means he can most effectually counteract the work of God. We should not give place to his devices. Christ's prayer for his disciples was, "That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." All true laborers for God will work in harmony with this prayer. In their efforts to advance the work, all will manifest that oneness of sentiment and practice which reveals that they are God's witnesses, that they love one another. To a world that is broken up by discord and strife, their love and unity will testify to their connection with heaven. It is the convincing evidence of the divine character of their mission. Items of experience. The editors of our papers need the cooperation of our laborers in the field and of our people far and near. In our papers should be found communications from the workers in all parts of the world, articles giving living experiences. We do not need romance, but in the daily life there are real experiences that, if told in short articles and in simple words, would be more fascinating than romance, while at the same time they would be an invaluable aid to Christian experience and to practical missionary work. We want truth, solid truth, from consecrated men, women, and youth. You who love God, whose minds are stored with precious items of experience and with the living realities of eternal life, kindle the flame of love and light in the hearts of God's people. Help them to deal with the problems of life. The articles that go to thousands of readers should show purity, elevation, and sanctification of body, soul, and spirit on the part of the writers. The pen should be used, under the control of the Holy Spirit, as a means of sowing seed unto eternal life. Let the space in our papers be occupied with matter of real worth. Crowd in subjects weighty with eternal interests. God calls us into the mount to talk with Him, and when by faith we behold Him who is invisible, our words will be indeed a savor of life unto life. The message for this time. Let all have more to teach, to write, and to publish, in regard to those things that are now to be fulfilled and that concern the eternal welfare of souls. Give meat in due season to the old and the young, to saints and to sinners. Let everything that can be said to awaken the church from its slumbers be brought forward without delay. Let no time be lost in dwelling on those things that are not essential and that have no bearing upon the present necessities of the people. Read the first three verses of the Revelation and see what work is enjoined upon those who claim to believe the Word of God. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the Word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Publication of books. Let more time be given to the publication and circulation of books containing present truth. Call attention to books dwelling on practical faith and godliness, and to those that treat on the prophetic word. The people are to be educated to read the sure word of prophecy in the light of the living oracles. They need to know that the signs of the times are fulfilling. It is God alone who can give success either in preparing or in circulating our publications. If in faith we maintain His principles, He will cooperate with us in placing the books in the hands of those whom they will benefit. The Holy Spirit is to be prayed for, trusted in, believed in. Humble, fervent prayer will do more to promote the circulation of our books than will all the expensive ornamentation in the world. God has great and grand resources for man to lay hold of, and in the most simple manner will be developed the working of the divine agencies. The divine teacher says, "My Spirit alone is competent to teach and to convict of sin. Externals make only a temporary impression upon the mind. I will enforce truth on the conscience and men shall be my witnesses throughout the world, asserting my claims on man's time, his money, his intellect. All these I purchased on the cross of Calvary. Use my entrusted talents to proclaim the truth in its simplicity. Let the gospel be sent to all parts of the world, awakening burdened souls to inquire, what must I do to be saved? Prices. Our periodicals have been offered for a limited time on trial at a very low figure, but this has failed of accomplishing the object designed, to secure many permanent subscribers. These efforts are made at considerable expense, often at a loss, and with the best of motives. But if no reduction in price had been made, a greater number of permanent subscribers would have been obtained. Plans have been made for lowering the prices of our books without making a corresponding change in the cost of production. This is an error. The work should be kept on a paying basis. Let not the prices of books be lowered by special offers, which may be termed inducements or bribes. God does not approve of these methods. There is a demand for low-priced books, and this demand must be met. But the right plan is to lessen the cost of production. In new fields, among ignorant or partially civilized peoples, there is great need of small books presenting the truth in simple language and abundantly illustrated. These books must be sold at a low price, and the illustrations must, of course, be inexpensive. Translations. A far greater effort should be made to extend the circulation of our literature in all parts of the world. The warning must be given in all lands and to all peoples. Our books are to be translated and published in many different languages. We should multiply publications on our faith in English, German, French, Danish, Norwegian, Swedish, Spanish, Italian, Portuguese, and many other tongues. And people of all nationalities should be enlightened and educated that they, too, may join in the work. Let our publishing houses do all in their power to diffuse to the world the light of heaven. In every way possible, call the attention of the people of every nation and tongue to those things that will direct their minds to the Book of Books. Great care should be exercised in selecting the members of the book committee. The men who are to pass judgment on the books offered for publication should be few and well chosen. Only such as have an experimental knowledge of authorship are qualified to act in this capacity. Only those should be chosen whose hearts are under the control of the Spirit of God. They should be men of prayer, men who do not exalt self, but who love and fear God and respect their brethren. Only such as, in distrust of self, are led by divine wisdom are competent to fill this important position.